Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I want to ask you, are you on a hero's journey? I'll bet you are. I think we're all on a hero's journey in this life. At this time, life is tough. And we're making it day by day. But we want to do a better job. We want to pursue our hero's journey more successfully. And how do we do that? Well, maybe we need to hear our call, heed our call as well as hear our call. And wait a minute, but how do we know it's the right call? So we need to know about all this. And in order to know it better, there's a book out called Heed Your Call. And the author is a guest on the show today, David Howitt. David, I'm so glad you could join us.
Thanks so much for having me, Peter. I really appreciate it.
Sure. I'm glad that I could read your book. I think it was very helpful to see all of the ingredients that we need to be aware of to pursue our lives with more awareness and understanding about it. And you didn't always understand as you were moving through your earlier years. Can you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Thanks, Peter, and thanks for the comments on the book. Yeah, so like all of us, I was born into my known world. You know, the world that I thought really was everything. So, you know, my family, my little local community, my schools, my peers, you know, to me, that was the kind of grand sum of the universe. And from an early age, I adopted the belief system that my life needed to be expressed through this known world. But as we all know, or hopefully can know, there's something much greater than just the known world waiting for us out there.
And for some of us, the known world might be a great place to start and even to tweak along the way and make it a better world.
Absolutely. And well said. So, you know, the ego will pop up and say, well, I like my known world. You know, why is this guy in this book, Heed Your Call, telling me I've got to go leave it? And that's a great question. You don't. But what I've experienced in my life and those of the entrepreneurs and business owners that I've had the opportunity to work with and advise is when you do, as you, I think, correctly say, open yourself up to tweaking or some amount of movement and realignment, you can really fine-tune and hone your life in a way that allows you to have a ton of abundance and also a lot of meaning and purpose. You know, we can think of that great classic film, The Wizard of Oz, where, you know, Dorothy kind of lives in Kansas on a dirt farm with her family. And she allows herself to sort of take her hero's journey, which, you know, in the movie is a pretty grand one, and ends up in Oz and on literally her path, the Yellow Brick Road. Well, these movies, whether it's The Wizard of Oz or Avatar or Star Wars and the list goes on, they're popular for a reason. You know, they outline for us this great mythological truth, which is each of us has a path. Each of us has a unique, as the Buddhists would call it, dharma or purpose. And when we open ourselves up and allow us to take our own unique journey to Oz, whatever that may be, our lives improve. And maybe as importantly, we help to heal the world.
Now, it's not so easy to take a jump. You know, that tweaking might need a lot more than a little twist. It might be a big twist. And I look back and on my life, and there were some major changes in direction that seemed natural to take, and my heart was in it. So, you know, your heart, you have to follow that. And you tell a story in the book of your law practice. You were a successful law school graduate. You had a big time corporate opportunity. You were in it. And I have a son who graduated from law school recently. And he had a choice of what kind of great opportunity he wanted to take, and he chose not to go the corporate route.
And well said, Paul. You know, back to kind of my known world. You know, I grew up in a home where kind of becoming a lawyer or a doctor or an executive was kind of expected of you. So I adopted that belief system really early on, and I did what most of us do. You know, I kind of put myself in service to that, and I, you know, took all the right classes in high school and went to the right college and had the right major and joined the right clubs and networked with the right people and found myself in law school and excelled and got out of law school and ended up, you know, in a really big, prestigious law firm with what should have been kind of a absolutely amazing result. You know, I should have been in a place where I could say, hey, I've done it all. You know, here was the goal and check the box. But instead, I found myself suffering, you know, really feeling unhappy and sad and out of alignment. And so many people that I meet in my life say that same type of thing to me. You know, hey, David, you know, I've got the cars and the house and the wife and the two or three kids, and we belong to the right clubs and take vacations in the right places, and I just feel sad. I'm depressed. I feel miserable. You know, I end up having to drink wine at night to go to sleep, or I spend all my time staring at my iPhone instead of enjoying my family. What's going on? And, you know, my experience is that has a lot to do with being out of alignment with what it is your heart and soul really want you to be doing, not what you should be doing. And for those that are willing to sort of take that leap, to surrender, to allow flow into their life and to start to make adjustments, radical or subtle, that allow themselves to get back into alignment with what it is that they really are meant to do, suddenly happiness comes pouring in, and the universe will, you know, collaborate with you, and doors will open where, you know, they hadn't opened before, and opportunity will start to present itself. And, you know, I know that, you know, because I'm one of them, your listeners will probably say, okay, that all sounds really neat and nice and great, you know, theory, but I got a mortgage to pay and cars and, you know, kids going off to college or in college. And what I want to say is, my experience and what I've written about in Heed Your Call is not based on theory. It's not fanciful concepts and notions. This is based on my life experience and the life experience of many entrepreneurs and modern-day heroes who have taken this leap and the net result of having done that. And it articulates a number of constructs and a number of useful tools that can be used when someone decides to sort of walk down that path.
Yes, and it's important. Your book is a tool.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And so people should read it because it helps you. It helps with discernment and knowing how to heed better, what to heed. And I always tell people, you know, the first thing to heed is the heart, because the heart won't stop talking to you. And I look back on my life, and I was a photographer years ago, and I'd be in the studio, and art directors would come to bring me work, and they'd want me to do my intuitive healing for them. You know, I wasn't a professional at the time. I was just good at it, and not making a big deal about it, but these art directors weren't giving me good work. They were just giving me enough work to get into the studio so that I could help them in their lives.
Right. Yep.
And it was like, what's wrong with this picture? And then I actually started a manufacturing company because I couldn't stand being that kind of a photographer. The universe was with me, and the manufacturing company was successful for 12 years. It was profitable all those years. And then I eventually sold it. But during that time, I'd be in different trade shows, people would come in the booth, and instead of trying to sell them product, as soon as they say they have a headache or a backache or something, I'd be on that case rather than selling them. And
right.
It's like my heart was speaking. And eventually I really had to sell the company because I had to be helping people full time.
Absolutely. And that, and Paul, thank you for doing that, because, you know, I think not only does that tend to make the individual's life better, but, you know, in my experience, it also helps to heal and repair the world. You know, in the research for the book, Heed Your Call, I looked at pathology, psychology, anthropology, you know, science, art, and also just traditional sort of Judeo-Christian liturgy. And interestingly, it didn't matter which of those you looked at. The same concepts are exhibited and discussed. They use different language and different words, but they're the same concepts. And so, for instance, in the Judeo-Christian liturgy, they talk about this term, tikkun olam, which translates to repair the world. Now, most people assume that that means philanthropy, write a check, make a donation, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But tikkun olam is really further defined as saying the way that you repair the world, the way you create tikkun olam, is to return to the Ruach Elohim, which is the breath of God that's in each of us. And so, simply put, when we return to our own divinity, to that place inside each of us, each and every one of us, that part that you refer to as sort of your heart, the witnessing awareness, the place where, you know, you hear that whisper, the part of you that isn't your thoughts, but watches your thoughts, acknowledges your thoughts, that part will guide you. And when enough of us start working from that place in our lives, not only will we all individually start to have a lot more purpose and meaning and abundance, but we actually create tikkun olam. We repair the world.
And yet, you have an illustration in your book based on Joseph Campbell, who is a great hero of the myth, and talked about the hero's journey. And once we heed the call, then we have our work cut out for us. That's why it becomes a hero's journey.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you heed the call, you're going to leave that known world we talked about, and suddenly you cross the threshold, you're in the unknown, and you are on your journey. And that journey is going to have some challenging times along with it. I mean, one of the parts of that journey, as the great Joseph Campbell outlined, is called the abyss. You know, really the part of the journey where you are brought to your knees and kind of rendered, to a place of, oh my gosh, what have I done? Why did I leave my known world? I'm really suffering. I don't know what to do here. And that's a natural and actually really important part of the journey, because it allows you to really drop ego and to ask for help and open yourself up to support. And that's when the mentors and guides tend to show up and help you on your journey.
And I think we learn how to be on this journey because we constantly have to stir the pot and create chaos to redefine ourselves and to be creative.
Absolutely true. You know, there's a constant need to evolve and to read the kind of tea leaves, if you will, that life tends to put in front of us. And the more awake, the more aware we are of those, the more we're able to make those adjustments and continue on our path.
And I love the different words that you have shown the path to contain. First, of course, is trust, or you could put surrender in the same place. Trust and surrender are exceedingly important right away, because we have to realize that we have to get out of our own way.
Absolutely true. Many people in our culture will say that this concept of trust or surrender is a weakness, that when we quote-unquote surrender, fly the white flag, oh, that's giving up. And it really couldn't be further from the truth. What we're talking about with this concept of trust and surrender is letting go to possibility, opening yourself up to something greater than playing it safe. You know, there's a great quote by a well-known psychiatrist, who said, when you feel yourself falling, jump. It's not about holding on more. It's about letting go. And actually, in letting go, there is strength. You know, in Chinese mythology, there's this concept of wu wei, doing, not doing. And they talk about, you know, the Aikido martial arts master, and how his strength comes from really just harnessing the energy of his opponent, and allowing his opponent to actually sort of defeat or tire himself. And the same principle is true in our own lives. If we just let go sometimes and allow flow into our lives, we'll find that life can be easy, that we can see results, and we can have fun. You know, unfortunately, we all are sort of taught to subscribe to this traditional sort of Protestant work ethic of, you know, I got to put my shoulder into the plow and work 12, 14-hour days, and if I don't come home exhausted and miserable, then I'm not working hard and I'm not a success. And my experience is that that's just not true.
Right. And one thing you talk about, and I think it's very important for us to become familiar with serendipity. And you, in the book, you say, pay attention to little miracles that happen every day. And it really is amazing how much magic there is in life when we can see it working, even in little things, the little miracles, and watch serendipity take place in our lives. Then maybe we can trust bigger serendipity to happen.
Absolutely. Well said. And, you know, I think if people give themselves the opportunity just to play with this, and, you know, I'm not suggesting that, you know, people decide tomorrow or after reading the book to go, you know, quit their job and, you know, leave their spouse and move to, you know, the ashram. I mean, that's your ego sort of trying to play games with you. I mean, the reality is, some of these changes and adjustments can be done pretty subtly. But start playing with it and look, you know, and you'll start to see, as you put it, these little daily miracles, these little fun synchronicities that start to happen. You know, once you align yourself or begin to align yourself with really what your heart wants and your soul wants, again, you know, the universe, whatever word you want to use, God, the universe, will start to give you pretty strong indication that you're on the right path. Unfortunately, so many of us are on the wrong path, and those indications are there for us every day, you know, but we ignore them. And those indications can be things like depression or heart disease or insomnia or, you know, any, you know, weight gain. I mean, any other number of things. Mm-hmm. And what happens in my experience and in the research I did for Heed Your Call is when you're out of alignment, the universe will send you messages of, you know, displeasure. And those messages will get increasingly louder. You know, they might start with sort of just things like, why do I have, you know, a stomach ache when I drive into work in the morning? And a few years later, it's, you know, why do I have chest pain when I go into work? And a few years later, it's, you know, now I'm divorced and I have had a heart attack and I'm on three different prescription drugs. And we just keep going down the path, even though we get daily, very, you know, increasingly louder signals that we're not in alignment. Well, when you are in alignment, you get those same signals, only they're positive. And they get louder and louder the more you continue down your path. And again, I just want to pause and say, this is not based on, you know, theory or view into a crystal ball or some special meditation practice that was given to me by an elder. This is available to each and every one of us at any given moment in any given breath. And I've seen it and watched it work with dozens and dozens of people in my life and around my life.
One thing that a lot of people are afraid of is change and the risk involved. And not everybody is powerful. Not everybody is capable of overcoming their stuckness. because they're afraid that of what they don't know. They're afraid of the unknown. So what's your advice to people like that who just on their own, they can't take a step forward?
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. I think that...
Peter, by the
way. What I want to say is, you know, it's important to be gentle with yourself. And nothing has to happen, you know, today or tomorrow. And so for those of us who are, you know, have a challenge with this practice, it can be really, really subtle. And it can start with really micro adjustments, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. And if you're not comfortable even with that, then what I would suggest is, you know, find some people around you. And I think if you pause, you'll know in your heart who they are. And it might just be one. Who can help you with this, who can talk with you and comfort you and maybe give you some encouragement, hold you a bit, kind of let you know that you're seen, and be there for you as you take these first few steps.
Yes, I like that, because we can then feel more confident if we're conditioned by people who are stronger than we are.
That's right, Peter. I totally agree. And I've had the good fortune in my life to have had a few of those people, you know, even in my known world, you know, my grandmother, my grandfather, and a few others. You know, I always knew they really saw the real me, and it gave me courage to start to think about living in alignment with that place.
I had the opposite. I had what you call in the book threshold guardians.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. Even with my manufacturing company, I had so many people assure me that I was going to fail.
Wow.
Even my accountant said, your numbers are terrible. You're bound to fail.
And, wow.
And I fired him, and I was very successful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There are those people that are really wed to the status quo, and they're very threatened by people like you and others who are following their heart, are on their own heroic journey. They find it threatening. It challenges, you know, order. It challenges the nature of things. And as a result, they'll do everything they can to discourage you and to put up roadblocks and to try to keep you kind of in the club of misery. You know, that phrase, misery likes company. And even in my life, you know, as I started to make shifts and move, I had those people who would say to me, what do you mean you're going to quit that job in the law firm? Didn't you go to school for the last 7 years to get, you know, to get that to that law degree? And, you know, you took the LSAT test and all of the thousands of dollars and hours, and you're just going to walk away from that? You can't do that. You'll be a failure. You know, and, you know, over and over again, those people would come forward with those types of statements.
And as smart as you were to take care of yourself and to follow your heart, you needed a teacher, too.
Absolutely.
And so let's talk about your wife.
Great. So my wife, Heather, who is truly an angel, is someone who came into my life, I believe, for the purpose of helping me to understand that, you know, following your heart, living in the moment, allowing yourself to think big, not being controlled by the known world or by ego was possible. And, you know, she was this sort of blonde-haired, West Coast, hippie, creative woman who dared to dream big. And no one and nothing could ever sort of interfere with that. And she taught me a great deal about how to surrender and how to trust and let go and how to open yourself up to manifesting your deepest desires. And when I was studying and in law school, one rainy kind of Saturday, Portland day, she said, hey, you know, I want to start a business. And I should mention to the listeners, she had no business experience of any kind. She was an anthropology major in college. We were in our, you know, in our early 20s and had no resources. You know, we were kind of students, you know, living on a student budget. She said, I want to start a business making chai tea. And I said, okay, well, tell me more. And she said, well, you know, Starbucks is really starting to innovate back in the 90s, you know, with coffee. But if you want to have a cup of tea, you're still sort of relegated just to a mug of hot water and a bag of, you know, chamomile. And what's the fun of that? You know, I want to be able to go into a cafe and have a tea experience that is along the lines of what others are having with, you know, cappuccinos and fun coffee drinks. And we had spent some time traveling in Southeast Asia and had had chai, traditional chai, and also, you know, a few little hippie businesses in places like Boulder and Santa Cruz, but no one had really put a business model around it. So she said to me one day, you know, I'm going to start this business. I have the product in mind. I know what it's going to taste like, the brand, the consumer. And she said, but I don't want to have to think about anything else other than that stuff. And I said, well, hey, I can help with that other stuff. And what we sort of stumbled onto, and it's become a big tenet of my company's work at the Merriweather Group, and also it's one of the constructs outlined in Heed Your Call, is this notion of the power of and. That really where the magic happens is when you allow creativity and best practices, when you have analytics and artistry. So Heather really embodied the notions of meaning and purpose and creativity and artistry and beauty and brand and consumer. And I was able to bring alongside, you know, sort of profit and loss.
You were the finance. Lawyer.
Yeah. Operations this, and legal and, you know.
This is wonderful. And then she ended up producing with you the company called Oregon Chai.
That's right. And so we started Oregon Chai in our kitchen.
That's amazing. My wife
loves it. Thank you.
And I already have, I also have a very inspirational wife, and you know, and the two of us work together in ways that you and Heather work together.
So that's great.
We do need to align ourselves with others, and we also need to stay in our own unique purpose, as Heather did with you, and you did with her.
Yes.
And it's beautiful to see. So we only have really a couple minutes left. And I'm very excited about the opportunity that you're giving people to learn how not only to heed their call, but to how to work with it and even to know it better, learn how to heed it, you know, how to discover it, where to find it, and then what to do about it in ways that aren't so easy. And also are very powerful. So you've done that in this book, and I really want
Thank
to hand
you.
It to you. As a, it's a really a great opportunity for people.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I appreciate your great questions, Peter, and also the insight you've shared with me today. And I hope that your listeners have an opportunity to read Heed Your Call, and they can pick the book up at Amazon or a local bookstore, or they can go to www.heedyourcall.com and order it, and where they can, you know, see what we're up to in my business at www.merriweathergroup, MERIWETHERGROUP.com. And I would love to hear from them. We have a Heed Your Call Facebook site. People can provide their thoughts, questions, and I hope the book is helpful.
David Howard, thank you so much. This has been great talking with you. And
thank you, Peter.
Good luck,
thank you very much.
With your book and everything else you're doing. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd really love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening. Thank you.